So have you noticed in Washington, it seems as though the czars are back. The
right.
Romanovs, yes. We've got the health reform czars, mm-hmm. pay czars, car czars.
I see the Russian hats.
It's like a trip through the steppe on a sleigh.
The Cossacks dancing.
In a Russian opera. So the question is, are there more czars in the Obama administration, or is it something that the media has simply coined? And what is really the Obama role in doing something that presidents have done for generations? That is, try to get around the constitutional requirement that serious positions in the executive department be confirmed by the Senate. Shirley Ann Warshaw joins us, presidential scholar at Gettysburg College, author of The Co-Presidency of Bush and Cheney. She joins us from Harrisburg. Shirley Ann Warshaw, thanks for being with us.
Hi, great to see you. Great to talk to you.
We actually talked with Ken Feinberg, who's supposedly the pay czar for bankers
right.
who get TARP money, and he took very serious exception to being called a czar.
Good for him.
And I think it's fair to say that this is a kind of a media designation.
Right,
but with these independent characters who report directly to the president, how much of a precedent is there for presidents doing this sort of thing? And do we think Obama is doing it more than it's been done in the past?
Sure. Yeah, no, good question. Let me just say, first of all, this word czar is a creation of the media in the last few years. It's very new. We never heard that before. It sounds good, particularly car czar. That has a lot of pizzazz to it. There really are. Let me separate this for a minute for you. There are two kinds of people running things. One are in the departments and one are in the White House. And they're somewhat different. And the one that everybody's talking about is the car czar, Steve Rattner. And he is actually an employee of the Treasury Department.
Interesting.
His title is Counselor to the Secretary of the Treasury. So he's an employee of Treasury. The compensations are that. So you're just talking about Ken Czar. His official title is Compensation Czar. And as you know, he oversaw the distribution of the congressional funds to the families of the victims of 9/11.
Ken exactly. Feinberg, right.
Right, Ken Feinberg. And he is also an employee of the Department of Treasury.
Huh.
So it is the Treasury Department hiring these. And all Feinberg is doing is working with the compensation for companies that receive federal funds, particularly the TARP funds, Troubled Asset Relief Program.
Well, let's step back in history then. I think a lot of people who are students of presidential history know the great battle that was fought between Henry Kissinger and the Secretary of State in the Nixon administration.
Right.
The National Security Advisor reported to the White House.
Right.
The Secretary of State, of course, is part of the Department of State.
Correct.
How does this work in our era?
Well, part of that is that the White House, and that's a good point, the White House in recent years, particularly since the Nixon administration, is trying to gain greater and greater control over a very complex federal government. We have 15 federal departments now. We have 3.5 million federal employees. And of those 3.5 million, the president only has 7,000 political employees within the federal government. So that's not really very many. It's a fraction of a percentage. 99.99% are civil service employees. So the president needs to gain some control over his own programs. There are very, very few positions in the departments, but the White House actually is almost all political appointees.
Right.
So what happens is that presidents, particularly since Nixon, you're absolutely right about the Kissinger case, have tried to put more and more power in the White House. And when you talk about the health czar, President Obama has actually put into the White House an office of health reform. I notice it's not health care reform. I think that's interesting. It's just the office of health reform. And it's interesting because HHS, Health and Human Services, would be the natural home for health and human services for health reform. And yet that's a huge, huge department. They have Medicaid, they have Medicare, they have Social Security, they have public health, huge. So because it is one very important issue to this president, he has put a small staff headed by Nancy DePaul, who is actually a Rhodes Scholar and Harvard Law School graduate. She's a very smart lady who worked in the Clinton administration at OMB overseeing health care.
Well,
so
then
she knows the area.
Well, let's say, all right, I'm the CEO of a big hospital somewhere, all right,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a lot of Medicare business and Medicaid business that I do, right?
Right.
And then let's say that I'm some medical entrepreneur who really has a sort of a policy idea for health care reform.
Right.
If I come to Washington and want to have a power lunch, if I'm the hospital CEO, I probably want to talk to Sebelius, the secretary of
exactly.
HHS, right?
Right.
But if I'm the policy wonk, I want to talk to the czar, right, Ms. DePaul.
Well, don't call her the czar. I don't
all
like
right,
that
I'm
word.
Sorry.
She is an expert. She is working in the White House. She is She has a very small staff. What is actually going to happen is actually going to be run through HHS. That's why Sebelius is the one that really still has the power.
I see.
But Nancy DePaul is really going to have influence in the policy process.
Well, it's an enormous headache to try to resolve as just a regular old taxpayer. Let's shift to the envoys, can we, for a moment? If you're Secretary of State Hillary Clinton...
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Richard Holbrooke, who's the envoy for South Asia, and George Mitchell...
Remember, he is a State Department employee.
Right. And, I mean, are these people friends or foes, if you're a Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton?
Oh, that's a great question. Could be both. And Hillary Clinton... case, she's a very, very smart lady, and she has made them friends. She has brought these people into her inner circle. Remember, however, that Susan Rice, who was the UN ambassador, is not a Hillary Clinton person. She is a Barack Obama person. Clear, no question about it. In fact, Susan Rice was given cabinet status, which means she has equal status. She can talk directly to the president without going to the Secretary of State. That's pretty interesting.
Now, we saw this during the George W. Bush administration, but is it the case with the Obama administration that loyalty is the coin of the realm and some of these add-on positions are valued for their loyalty, where the bureaucracy positions are maybe valued for their management?
Well, there's a little bit of both. I mean, every president needs political employees to move forward his agenda. So much of what government does today is discretionary. Laws are written very broadly. If you want to move forward a program, you have a lot of discretion within the law as how it moves forward. So you want people that are loyal to you that understand how to move your programs forward within the law. And so much is done through discretionary authority and through executive orders today. There's one office, for instance. Let me mention the Office of Urban Affairs in the White House.
Okay.
This is a new creation of the Obama administration. It's being run by what I would consider, and this goes to your point, a political loyalist.
Right.
And this is you, Bronx Borough President Adolfo Carrion. And I'm not sure how well he will do there. It'll be interesting to see.
Well,
he's up against HUD. HUD is a pretty well-established group. They know how to deal with urban problems, Department of Housing and Urban Affairs. What can he do that they can't do?
Well, he is from the Bronx. The Bronx is tough, but we will see. It's certainly grist for a lot of historical lore, but I'd hate to make an organizational chart of the Obama administration right now. Shirley Ann Warshaw, thanks so much for setting all that in context for us.
Oh, my great pleasure. Thanks very much.
Shirley Ann Warshaw is a presidential scholar at Gettysburg College and author of The Co-Presidency of Bush and Cheney, and she does not like the word czar.
So this morning we've been talking about healthcare. It is on the President Obama's agenda. It's on yours as well. We want to know what you would do to make healthcare affordable. What would you not cover? Alternative treatments, perhaps. Beverly writes on our website, remove state regulation. Many variations in coverage are the result of mandated state benefits. The insurance company departments, legal, marketing, service centres all have to develop, maintain and train to accommodate these many individual state variances. So tell us, how would you budget healthcare for America? 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
All your corpse flower coverage is available on our website. You can go see what that flower looks like at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Femi Okay, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.